Everybody say it. Come on, it'll make you feel better, I promise. Say, the struggle is real. I don't know about you, there's only one thing in this world that's promised, and that's struggle, right? I don't know how, you know, Monday mornings we joke here in the office sometimes, like, this is a Monday morning. We are struggling to get our brains together and going, and there's so many things. But when I think of this moment, July the 4th, I think of our first military. I think of the military men of this world who have sacrificed so much for us. And it reminds me of a movie that I watched. So I like to use movie clips. I like to talk about movies because they're great illustrators and they tell really good stories. But there was a movie that came out in the 2000s. It was called The Patriot. And there's a scene in that movie, and it just, every time I see it, like, I kind of feel like I'm watching Rocky, right? I don't know if you've ever watched Rocky before, but this is how it works at my house, right? The music starts going, dun 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 dun, or Eye the Tiger, and I jump out of my seat, I start acting like a boxer for a minute, and I feel like I'm going to conquer the world till I walk out the back door. It's hot and uncomfortable, and I realize I'm not willing to put that effort in that Mr. Rocky did. Our country was muddled and created out of struggle. Our lives are struggle. Like I said, the only thing in this world, if I've learned anything, is struggle is guaranteed. It's guaranteed in some shape, form, or fashion. And the struggle happens in all of our lives at some level, at some point, whether we like it or not. Right? I don't know about you. How many of you have a perfect life and everything works out great every week all the time? Nobody, right? How many of you struggle at least once or twice a week? I'm not talking about spiritual. I'm just talking about getting your life together sometimes, getting in the car to go to work. I'm not talking about sin issues. I'm just talking about the struggle, the inconvenience, things not going the way you wanted them to, things not working out. And I think if we're Christians, we've got to understand and learn from the struggle. And when the struggle presents itself, how do we handle it? And how do we go through things right? What is the definition of struggle? And it's this: it's a forceful or violent effort to get free of restraint or resist an attack. Put it like this: if somebody jumps up behind you, wraps their arm around your neck, and starts to choke you, what are you going to do? You're going to struggle, right? You're going to do everything you can to push them off. You are going to go through the motion of struggle. And you are going to do everything you can to get them off. It is a struggle. It is a fight for your life. And there's a story in the Bible that I absolutely love and most of you've heard. That I would like to highlight, where someone took a struggle and turned it into a life change. In Genesis chapter 32, 22 through 32, it says, "During the night, Jacob got up, and he took his two wives, his two servant wives, and his 11 sons and crossed the Jabbok River with them. After taking them to the other side, he sent over all his possessions. This left Jacob all alone in the camp. And a man came and wrestled with him until the dawn began to break. When the man saw that he would not win the match, he touched Jacob's hip and wrenched it out of its socket. Then the man said, 'Let me go, for the dawn is breaking.' But Jacob said, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.' 'What is your name?' the man asked. 'What is your name?' Sorry. Then the man said, 'Let me go to the dawn break.' But Jacob said, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.' 'What is your name?' the man asked. He replied, 'Jacob.' 'You will no longer be Jacob,' the man told him. 'From now on, you will be called Israel, because you have fought with God and with men, and you've won. Please tell me your name,' Jacob said. 'Why do you want to know my name?' the man replied. Then he blessed Jacob there. Jacob named the place Peniel, which means face of God. For he said, 'I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been spared.' And the sun was rising as Jacob left Peniel, and he was limping because of the injury to his hip. Even today, the people of Israel do not eat the tendon near the hip socket because of what happened that night when the man strained the tendon of Jacob's hip. Well, what's wrong with the name Jacob? Anybody in here named Jacob before I go here? If you are, your parents meant well. I'm sorry. But in the Hebrew, Jacob actually means deceiver or heel grabber. Jacob lived in the moment of shame. He hated his name. He hated what it meant. It meant deceiver. He deceived his brother Esau out of his birthright. He was called heel grabber because he tried, when he was born, he tried to grab the heel of Esau and pull him back to be the firstborn, right, as a baby. Which, as a baby, I'm sorry, I don't think you should be blamed for what you did in the womb of your mom. If you're going to get mad at somebody, you shouldn't do it. But anyway, so, but the deceiver part he earned, okay? He earned that. The heel grabber thing, I think they should have been a little more lenient. But Jacob hated his name because his name was claiming his destiny. Jacob didn't want to be known as the deceiver. And so one night he finds himself, his whole family's gone on, and he's in this moment where he basically wrestles an angel or God, whatever it's split. It's obviously at least an angel. And he fights him all night until he blesses him. I am not going to let go of you until you change my name. And he changes his name from deceiver to wanted, to the greatest nation, the nation God calls to himself. He names him Israel. I'm going to name you Israel, Jacob. See, Jacob's struggle changed his name and his legacy forever. His name became the name of God's favored nation. He became what God would call God's favored nation, even till today, Israel. Because he struggled. Because he was willing to fight. So, thoughts on the struggle. First thing I want to say to you is struggle makes us dependent on Jesus. Have you ever let me ask y'all this. Have y'all ever had somebody let you down? Raise your hand. You've had somebody let you down? How many? I think all of us have at some point. Maybe you didn't get that birthday party. I'm not talking like spiritual. Again, these are not all sin analogies. These are maybe somebody forgot your birthday or somebody did. But somebody let you down at some point. It really hurt. Right? Or they, you know, you thought they should have done something. They did something else. But you've been let down. I think a lot of the reasons we don't trust that God won't let us down, that he won't drop the ball on us, is because people have let us down. And when we frame God, we frame him as somebody else. But God is incapable of letting you down. One of the biggest mistakes as Christians, though, I think, is to become dependent on ourselves. I can handle that. I can deal with that. I can deal with that sin. I can deal with that issue. I can do this. I can do it all by myself. Naturally, we think and we say this to ourselves, right? I got this. You don't got this. I can handle this. I've heard people say this about a drug addiction or an alcohol addiction or some other kind of addiction. I can quit this whenever I want. Or I can stop whenever I want to. Here's the thing. That says that you have the power to overcome something. The only thing that has the power to overcome something is Jesus. He's the only one that can change things for good. You may change it for a moment, a few weeks, a month, or maybe even a year, but God can change things but forever. And God's not dependent. I mean, our dependency's got to be on God, because I've learned that no matter how many people will let you down, and they will, that Jesus is incapable. He cannot let you down. He cannot mess up with you. He cannot make a mistake on you. He cannot take you somewhere that you shouldn't have gone. Right? Now, you may not get the answer you wanted. God, will you do this? And he says, no. Well, that wasn't his plan. That was your plan. You can't get mad at God for not answering your desire. Right? Now, God may not give you what you want, when you want it, how you want it, in the direction you want it. But I have learned in my 34 years, and since I was six, that I'm glad that God doesn't give me everything I pray for. Because at this point in my life, a lot of those prayers would be a headache. In the moment, they seem like a shining golden prize. But right now, it would wreck my life. And some of those decisions and some of those things I prayed for are not bad things. They just weren't God's best things. And so I want to say to you, God is incapable. He's incapable of letting you down. He cannot drop the ball on you. He cannot mess up a decision. Now, it may not be what you want to hear. It may not be what you wanted to, it may not be the answer or the direction or the guidance, but it's his decision. He is incapable of imperfection. He is perfection. He is goodness. He is everything that's wonderful in this world. And some of us don't believe this because we have never experienced not having someone let us down at some point. We don't believe that God can be perfect, that God can make the right decision with our life. So we'll say this, well, God, this is, God, will you deal with this, but do it this way, right? Like, we give God, like, direct military orders. Like, do it my way, this direction, this, right? Don't we do it? God, I want you to do this in my life, right? Because this would be great. And God's like, but if you do that, this is going to happen, and this is not good. But we don't see that. Which goes to my second point. Struggle makes us stronger. Struggle. Cooper, will you come here? Will you come here? My good friend, Cooper. So, I need you, okay, everybody stand up. We support those who struggle, okay? And so, he's about to struggle, I'm just going to tell you. Here's what we're going to do. I'm giving, Cooper, have you ever done a curl, Cooper? Do y'all know anything about weights? This is 20 pounds. It is not light. I'm struggling to hold it as I speak. But here's what I want you to do, Cooper. I want you to, and as he does this, I want you to cheer for him like you want people to cheer for you not to die, okay? So anyways, so Cooper, go ahead and take this with your right-handed, right? Okay? And he's going to do that as many times as he can until he can't do it anymore. But you're going to cheer for him. Come on, let's go, Cooper. One. Set. When he does it, do it. Ready? Two. Come on, boy. Three, you got this. Four, come on. Come on. Five, you got this. Let's go. Six, come on, Coop. Seven, you got it. Eight, come on. Ready? Nine, come on, boss. 10, come on. I believe you got another one. 11, come on. Keep it. 12, come on. Don't give up now. 13, come on. 14. Look at that face. 15. Come on. 16. 17. Look at this struggle. 18. Ready? 19. 20. Oh, yeah. Woo. Y'all can have a seat. Now, let me tell you a fact. Tomorrow, Cooper's going to wake up and that arm's going to hurt. Promise. But why do we lift weights? Why in the world do we lift weights? You know, actually, and Tyler, he will tell you this. Tyler is a personal trainer now. And Tyler will tell you this. When you lift weights, You lift, you saw it. You saw the struggle on Cooper's face, right? You lift to the point you can't go anymore. But what's happening that you can't see is his muscles are tearing. Why are his muscles tearing? His muscles are tearing so they can rebuild. And next time, if he did this for a week, every week, he did 20 of those for a week, I could give him a 25-pound bar, and he would be able to lift that just like he did that 20-pound. And eventually, I could give him 100 pounds, and he'd still, his arms would be stacked, but he would be able to do that. I don't know how long that would take. I imagine a long time. But he'd eventually be able to lift it. Why? Because of this point, my friends. Struggle makes us stronger. Struggle makes us stronger. Every time God lets you go through a struggle and you're pushing through the pain, God's tearing your spiritual muscles so you can lift more later. Every time you go through a hard time in your life, and this is not easy, every time that you go through something, you're like, I don't know how I made it. I don't know how I'm going to live through that. My arm's going to hurt tomorrow. I don't know how I push through that struggle. You are tearing your spiritual muscles, and you're making yourself spiritually stronger. Because 90% of the time, you make it through. In that moment, you don't feel like it. As we're going through Corona, we don't feel like we're going to make it, right? But we're just benching more. We're just curling more. What we're doing is building our spiritual muscles. And I'd like to tell you, in Christianity, when you get saved, everything becomes a wonderful cloud that you get to float on. But it's actually more like a roller coaster, right? It's like a roller coaster. There's ups and there's downs and there's loops and there's swoops, and it's terrifying. And most of you, well, there's some of you that are crazy and you put your hands up in there and scream real wild. That's how I want to be spiritual. But physical, I'm a sissy. But most of us clench to the seat and we go, ah, right. Until God says, okay, breathe. There is an end to the roller coaster. But as a famous missionary, I say famous missionary, we had her in the youth group last year, and she was so good. Her name was Leah Diaz from Ecuador. She made a statement. She said, the reward for making it through a battle is another battle. And I thought that was good. I'm going to steal that. It's amazing. But it's the same thing in our Christian lives. We will, until we die, we'll go through a constant state of hills and valleys, or roller coasters, right? We'll constantly go through this. And God, listen, this may blow your mind, knows that you're going through it. God is not surprised that you faced that struggle last week. He is not surprised that you're about to go through this next season of your life. God is not caught off guard. Like, I didn't see that coming. He may not bring bad things into your life, but he will allow things to test your life. So you can weigh, so you can keep pushing, and you can get stronger. And next week you're doing 25, and next week you're doing 30, and then you're 35, and you're 40, and you're able to spiritually withstand and do all the things that God called you to do. Christianity didn't promise you comfort. If he promised you comfort, then all the disciples wouldn't have died the way they did. If we're supposed to have it nice and cushy, then why did the disciples die horrific deaths and martyrdom for Jesus? Why did our Savior die on a horrific cross? If we're supposed to have it great and wonderful and everything be perfect, it just doesn't line up with the Bible. You're going to go through hills and valleys, and this is what I've learned. God will take you through the valleys in those hard times. And so often, you'll be at a Sunday service and God will finally give you a hill, or he'll give you a mountain. And God will speak into your life and, hey, this is why I took you through this. Keep fighting. And he'll fill you in this service. And you'll feel the anointing rush through. But let me tell you something. This is what I've learned about Christianity. The more mature you get, the less you feel him. Because God's not about your emotions and your feelings. He's not about how he can make you feel. He's about how he can develop you. So we go through the valleys, and God will bring us to a mountain. And youth, I call these convention, camp, deeper. We're about to do a retreat for our teenagers. Those moments where you're separated and you're with nothing but Christians and you're listening to worship music for multiple days and you're not watching TV or social media or anything else, and all you're doing is eating on Jesus. And in those moments, so often we'll hear God screaming in our lives. But it's in the valleys that God develops us. And where sometimes, if we're real honest, if we're mature Christians, we'll say, God, where are you? But I want to remind you in those moments that God did his most hell-defying, most incredible thing when he didn't hear God at all. It's when he was on the cross and God turned his back to him. But he was doing the most powerful thing in all of history in that moment. The struggle takes us deep. I'm almost done. I know y'all don't believe that, but I am. It is through our trials and adversity that our spiritual lives grow. And my last point is this. Struggle takes us to a new level. Struggle takes us to a new level. And I just want you to imagine, maybe you can raise your hand. Have you ever had a hard situation that you feel like you grew from once you were through it? Anybody raise your hand? Like you didn't want to go through it in the moment, but then God took you through it. And when you were on the other side of it, you were better because of it. Anybody? Anybody grow through those situations? Hard times are inevitable. Struggle is inevitable. It's going to happen. But it's who we trust in those moments. It's who we listen to in those moments. It is in our struggles that God will take us where he wants us to go. There's a lesson in every struggle. From our struggle comes a greater level of wisdom and a greater level of influence. In other words, this is what it means. This is what that means. This is what I'm trying to say to you. When you go through a struggle and you come out on the other side, then you have wisdom to tell people who are going to go through that same struggle that you didn't have before you went through that struggle. Which means your influence circle just grew bigger. It's through your trials, your tribulations, and your hurt. I am 34 years old. I've been in youth ministry for almost 13 full-time. And when I was 21 years old, nobody cared what I had to say about youth ministry. Nobody. Because I didn't know what I was doing. And I'm not saying I know what I'm doing now, but now I have friends that are younger in their 20s that will call me and say, Seth, this is what's going on. What do you think? Well, why do they call me now? Because I've been in it for 13 years. I know a little something that I didn't know at 21. So my level of influence has grown significantly larger as I get older and continue to fight this fight and do this thing. And the same thing with your Christian walk. I'm not bragging on myself. It's just because I'm older and I've done it longer that people want to hear what I have to say. And I may not have the right advice all the time, but I've been some places and I've gone through some trials and I've been through some hurt and I've come out the other end alive. And you may feel like right now, it can't get any worse than this. And I want to say to you, there's a mountain coming. And on that mountain, God's going to say, well done. And I'm not talking about just heaven, but he's going to say, well done. And he's going to give you marching orders for the next valley. Everybody stand up, bow your heads, close your eyes. Our struggle is inevitable. because of that, we must learn and grow through those moments. We've got to learn. We've got to find the purpose behind the pain. We've got to understand the stretching and the moving and the changing and the purifying. None of you really want to be where you started Christianity-wise. None of you want to be babies. You want to be warriors. Which means God's got to take you through struggles you didn't go through as a baby. Your struggle as a baby was learning how to walk. Well, you're past that. Now it's fighting demons. And hitting people. Not really. Don't do that. I didn't say that Facebook. Anyways, the struggle. It's one of the only things in your life you're promised. And to be honest, it doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not, you're still going to struggle. But you can either learn from your pain or you can grow from your pain. I mean, you can either be crippled by your pain, or you can learn from it and move forward. 4 months ago, nobody expected that church would look like this. Nobody expected that we would go through the trials and the tribulations and the fear and the things that we're going through. Nobody expected that we would live in this moment. But you know what? God's taking us through it in this moment, at this time, on purpose. Did he bring it? No. But he's allowing it. What are you learning in this moment? What is God teaching you through your valley or your mountain experience? There's lessons on both. Every head bowed, every eye closed, Jesus, we come to you. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would move in our hearts and our lives, God, that you would help us, God, that you would help us to realize, God, that we may be going through this struggle, not because of the devil, but because God's allowing it, because he wants to grow us, because he wants to speak something new in our life, because he wants us to see something we didn't see last year, or know something we didn't know 5 years ago. God, I pray, God, that you would anoint this room in this moment, God, that you would take us to a new level, God, that you would help us to realize that every bad thing's not a bad thing. Every stretch is not a bad thing. But it's a moment where, God, you want to grow us and move us and change us and rearrange us. God, touch us. You know, as Christians, so often we blame the devil for everything. Life's hard right now. It's the devil. This is going in my life. It's got to be the devil. And I will say this. God is not a bad guy. He does not do bad things. He does not bring evil into your life. Don't hear me say that. But what I'm saying is he allows situations because he wants you to grow, if for no other reason for you, but to teach your future fear of influence or the one around you. And he wants you to be able to minister on a level that you didn't when you got saved, but the one that you're living in now. Every head bowed, every eye closed. This is what I want to ask you this morning. Because we can't do an altar call in this room. There's just too many of us, and we can't really find a spot. But I just want to spend some time with Jesus, if that's okay. I just want us to seek after him. And I don't know what you're going through. I don't have a clue what your life looks like at home. I don't know what's happening behind the doors of your house. And honestly, it's none of my business. But what I do know is God has purpose for every pain. What I do know is God has understanding for every struggle. What I do know is he is not caught off guard by your life and what's going on in it. He's not shook. So this is what I want to do. We're about to bring up the worship music just for the next 5 minutes. And I want you to tell God, you know what? For some of you, you're going to say something like this: God, help me understand this struggle. I don't get why I'm going through this. But will you show me? Will you begin to show me the lesson in the pain? Will you begin to speak through me? Will you begin to speak into me? Our God, will you show me who you're teaching me this? Why am I learning this? Why am I going through this? What do you want out of me? How do you want me to struggle for you? Can we do that? I'm going to turn up the worship music. And I just want you to pray that God would help you to struggle well. I know nobody wants to hear that, but God would help you to understand the struggle, understand what you may be going through, understand that He's got your back. Some of you in this room, you do need to hear God speak over you. You do need God to say, I'm still here. Some of you need a mountaintop experience. You need God to refresh you and renew you and pour out your spirit, His Spirit on you. And that's okay. But ask God for marching orders. Ask God what He wants you to hear on that mountain. Let's begin to worship Him. Begin to worship Him, saints. Come on. Begin to worship Him, guys. Begin to push into Him right now. We're going to turn this music up. Begin to cry out on His name and ask God, what do I need to know about what I'm going through right now? Because if you're not in a struggle now, you're about to go through one. Touch us, Lord. Touch us, Lord. Jesus, we pray, God, that You would touch us. That Your Holy Spirit would move, Lord Jesus. That You, Lord Jesus, would move in such a powerful way. That Your Holy Spirit would touch us. God, that even when we don't feel You, even when we don't sense You, even though we don't feel, God, that we know You've got this. That Your Holy Spirit is there. That You're the way maker. God, that You're the one that understands. God, help us to struggle well. God, help us to follow You. Help us to learn what You want us to know in the moment of every situation. God, help us to hear Your voice super clearly and know You in a way like we never have. God, I pray over each and every person in this room. God, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would touch them. You would anoint them. God, that Your hand would be in them. God, that they would begin to start looking at every struggle, every mountaintop, every valley is a moment where they could hear Your voice better than they did last week. God, that Your Holy Spirit would move, that Your anointing would be with them. God, that You would take them to levels they never thought they could be, to do things they never thought they could do. Holy Spirit, move in this room. God, I pray over each and every person here and on Facebook Live that Your anointing would move. God, that You would use us. God, that we would know what You want us to know and to hear what You want us to hear. Touch us, Lord. Be with us. Stretch us. Grow us. Help us to follow You. In Your holy and awesome name we pray. Amen.